Hey everyone, and welcome to this edition of Stream On. I'm your host, Jim Williams. What does it take to launch a successful over-the-top streaming video channel? How about the technology that it takes to stream live programming? Well, my guest today knows all about these subjects and much, much more. He is Ben Kant, the CEO and founder of Blue Frame Technology, LLC. They're based in Lexington, Kentucky. And Ben, tell me about how you decided to start Blue Frame.
Sure. Yeah. So myself and my business partner we're technology developers at another streaming company that had pretty deep roots in the sports industry, and we saw an opportunity with some of the things that we were doing with that company to expand it on into the same market and the longer tail of that market. So particularly we were working very closely with the Mountain West Digital Network at that previous company, and we kind of saw that the model of conferences wanting to create their own networks, control their own branding, was going to be a big thing as streaming became more ubiquitous. And so we took that to the high school level with the Indiana High School Athletic Association. We do a number of Division II conferences and a handful of mid-major conferences now as well. And so that's kind of been our vision for this, is to help organizations create their own branded networks.
I think it's important to note that it seems as though the streaming video world is kind of like the early days of cable. And I say that in such is that there were a number of networks that popped up at that time who were either eaten up by other networks or moved on and matured. I don't know if you are seeing the same thing I am, but it seems to me that the space, it's like the great land rush. You want to get out there, you want to get your space and get in the different Roku and Amazon and Apple and some of these other spaces as quickly as possible. But as someone who also develops the channels for that area, I think there's got to be a method to the madness. Why don't you give us a little inside baseball on the method to the madness of getting on these channels and that process?
Yeah. So let me kind of split that into two different answers. The first is, what we see a lot from our clients is that, traditional distribution channels were limited. And so even with cable, there being, hundreds or, maybe 1,000 channels or so, that did not leave enough room for everybody to get their content distributed through cable. And like I said, dealing with mid-majors, that means, maybe they had a game or two a week going out over a linear channel. And so what we saw as an opportunity there was not just the and what fit well with what our clients were demanding or asking for was the ability to have all of their content distributed through mainstream platforms, like you said, like Amazon, like Amazon Fire, like Android TV, like Apple TV and Roku, which we support all of those. And so to the second half of your question there, what's the mechanics there? It's very similar to the mobile application marketplaces. And so as technology developers, we work with our clients to brand and theme their application in a way that they desire. And we develop or design assets around the look and feel that they want to accomplish, and we integrate those into our platform, and then each individual platform has their own marketplace that we build an application for and distribute it as a part of our relationship with our partner conferences and organizations.
One of the things that I think is impressive about your company is the software aspect of it, the ability to have a studio that is on the go. And I think that content providers at this point in time, it doesn't, whether you're a sports provider, whether you're a news provider, whether you're an entertainment provider, I think we've learned this from YouTube, and that is that, you know, content is many things to many different people, but what your company allows is a much more polished version of that.
Yeah, and so what we kind of see in the landscape, it's interesting because our so I think you know our production software is called Production Truck. It runs on a Mac platform, and in concept, when we kicked off the Production Truck product, it was originally intended or you know conceptualized as a mobile application, and you see a lot of those coming around right now. You know, at the time, this was 2012, 2013 is when we kind of first kicked off the process of developing that. At the time, those mobile applications or mobile devices were really not capable of creating a quality output product. And while they have come a long way since then, really, you know, desktop and laptop hardware has too. And you know, it's really keeping pace or catching up with more of the traditional broadcasting world. So we have a really nice product that's portable, cost-effective and high quality, and so we still see. Had a conversation with a guy in more in the broadcast media world, the news world, and so he you know he was saying, you know, we really for them they're looking to differentiate what they're doing from you know just social media where people go out and take an iPhone and a camera on that device and create something that's you know, fairly low quality. The image quality on those devices is pretty good, but you know, it doesn't have the finish of a produced product. And so that's where we fit in really well. We can you know cost effectively, portably create a quality product. And so that's our niche.
Well, and I think you know one of the good things about what's going to happen as your company evolves is that. You're going to move past just sports into entertainment, into news, because the product itself allows you the freedom to, yes, it's a remote truck, but it's also in many ways a studio. You know, yeah. You can use it in studio format. And what I mean by that for those folks who are not hip to what we're talking about, you have the ability to produce your own graphics. You have the ability to do your own roll-ins. You have your ability to do anything and everything that one would need to do to produce a network quality product on the, you know, basically, as you said, on the laptop of a Mac. So for all intents and purposes, yes, it's got a great sports user base because, you know, that's something that is where you began. But as someone who has produced a number of different projects, I think what it allows, at least from the way I look at it, it allows a news department to be on the go. It allows a you know someone to go to a venue and professionally produce a concert of you know or for that matter a town hall meeting. I mean, there's any number of very useful ways that the product can be used. And because it's streaming video and because you don't need a satellite, you know, you can get this to your potential viewers a hell of a lot quicker. And at the same time, I assume you can also record it in such a way where it can be an on-demand product.
Yeah, that's exactly correct. I mean, and like you alluded to, you know, our history was very much entrenched in sports. That's where we kind of found our natural start. We had some clients that or some relationships that we leveraged to get our first clients on board, and mm-hmm. And then yeah, from there as we kind of look to what's next, you know, you have to ask yourself what makes our product sports specific. And it's things like graphics and, you know, specific graphics for certain sports and for, mm-hmm. You know, integration of those graphics with different data mm-hmm. sources that are sports related. So stats, right. Feeds, scoreboard controllers, that sort of thing. But yeah, generically speaking, you know, the video platform itself is agnostic to the content that goes through it. And so mm-hmm. So that's certainly on our radar for how we take our product to different verticals moving forward.
Sure. And I think that those potential video producers out there, one of the reasons why I think you should take a look at this product is because, a lot of times you can, and this is something that we used to do back in the day, as they say. Not as much now because you don't necessarily have to do it now, but part of the thing that your product allows is that, from the remote truck standpoint, is, back in the day, you would take it and, go and what we used to like to call live to tape. And what that simply meant was the goal was to do it in such a way where there was a minimal amount of editing. What you're product allows is just exactly what I was talking about, only in a new digital standpoint. And that is, you can go out, you can do, like I said, a concert, a town hall, a whatever, and shoot it in such a way that it requires a minimal amount of editing.
Yeah, absolutely. We see a number of people use that for a number of different reasons. A couple examples are, still we struggle, some of our clients struggle with limited connectivity. And so if connectivity is an issue, that's a reason they would do that. And then, there are certain laws on the books that that say a broadcast can't be done live, or either it be legal or be it rights-based. Then there's opportunities, obviously, for recording, making that content available on demand.
Yeah, plus the other aspect, this is something, Ben, that I know you see. I don't know what it's like around your house, Ben, but around my house, my wife refuses to watch anything that requires watching commercials in it. She loves the idea of sitting down, and prime time is pretty much any time you want it to be. I mean, around your house, it could be 9 o'clock. Around my house, it can be 7:30, 8 o'clock. I mean, it just depends on what it is that you want to see. And I think that that's where streaming video has really won the day for a lot of people, and that is that you can sit down and say, you know what, I want to watch a movie on Netflix. I want to consume something that's, perhaps it's sports related. It doesn't necessarily have to be live anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, we certainly, like, with not just only our production software obviously can support kind of recording and making content available on demand, but our delivery system as well. And one of the things that I guess conversation was the ability to deliver content over the top. And so in addition to being able to record, watch on demand, our platform also supports live DVR. So if that window in which you're interested happens to be 30 minutes after a broadcast starts, we can facilitate that too. And so not only can it be completely after the event occurs, but it could be in the middle. We try to be as flexible with that system as possible. And then again, when you're streaming online, we have tools to make that content immediately available for on-demand viewership, such that as soon as the broadcast is over, it's also available on demand. And we have again different use cases for some things, but we actually have in the sports world, we have coaches who prefer not to have their content available on demand, right, for scouting purposes, and so we can enable that for them as well. And then, like I said, there's also kind of the whole element of be it rights or be it laws for certain states, specifically in high school, that content can't be made available live, or video content can't be made available live. Again, integrated into our content management system, we can make audio available live and video available on demand, that sort of thing. So we have all sorts of tools to kind of
Mix and
facilitate the
match.
different use case. Yeah, exactly. The use cases that our clients are running into, and so those the ownership of kind of the whole pipeline from Blueframe standpoint provides us the flexibility to do those sorts of things.
We're speaking with Ben Kant, the co-founder and CEO of Blueframe Technology Group in beautiful Lexington, Kentucky. And Ben, take me into what you see 4, 5, 6, 8 years down the line as we move on to streaming video. Is it, do you feel, as I anyway, that what we're going to see is a change of attitude, that now people are used to watching things when they want to, as well as watching it where they want to, from be it a computer, be it a phone, be it an iPad, be it whatever type of device you want to watch it on. It's something that I think that we're seeing, you know, there's a change, and it's a seismic change in how viewers consume content. And I don't see it turning backwards. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think what we see is people interested in people with different interest levels in certain types of content. And mm-hmm. so, and again, I'll kind of focus on the sports world because that's where most of our business is right now. Mm-hmm. But we have, you know, there's a number of people who will sit down and watch a game in its entirety. And that's really where our production software, you know, has a lot of value. You know, we can cost effectively create content, full form content, and distribute it. I think the other thing that we've started to see more recently is an interest in being able to listen to that content. And so, you know, people are not necessarily always in a place where they can view the video. They may be mm-hmm. riding in their car. They may be, you know, jogging or walking or whatever it happens to be. And so one of the things that we've enabled with our new mobile applications is the ability to listen only, put the app in a background mode, and consume the content in that way. And again, that's full form sort of listening. We see that as being a pretty cool feature for what we're doing. I happened to notice the other day, I was watching the Today Show, and they announced that they're going to offer a podcast of all their interviews that they do on the Today Show. So similar sort of concept. They're already creating high quality audio and video content. They're taking that audio, distributing it through podcasting systems. And we do a very similar thing, both live and on demand with our audio system. And then finally, the other thing that we see a lot of is, you know, someone may not be interested in committing the full 2 hours to watch a full length broadcast, but they would be interested in watching 30-second highlights or a 5-minute summary of the game. And so mm-hmm. we provide tools in our production software that allow you to actually clip out parts of the game while it's live. And due to the nature of internet streaming, the latency in the video pipeline for live streaming is actually pretty analogous to what it takes to clip and send it out. So you actually may get a video highlight clip out in the same time or in advance of the live stream actually getting to your home, depending on what platform you're watching. So, and what, you know, and where you're watching, that sort of thing. So it's pretty interesting to see how people, you know, may just be only interested in the short form sort of content. And then we also see very, you know, we can see in our data that the short form highlights are really driving engagement in the long form content. And so I'll give you an example of that. Blueframe is the platform provider for the National Junior College Athletic Association. Mm-hmm. And in addition to being the platform provider, we actually coordinate the productions as well. And last year we made a very dedicated effort of putting out 5 to 10 highlights a game on social media. And year over year from the previous year when we were not doing that, we saw a 24% increase in viewership in their basketball championship. And so we really saw a lot of momentum towards making people aware that the content was available and putting it in a consumable format. And not only did we see great numbers out of that on social media, but we also saw that would drive more engagement in the long form content as well.
It's a good point that you just bring up, Ben. I think that most of the streaming video services have understood that the integration and concept of marrying it with a strong social media platform, be it Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, whatever you want to use, is a fantastic way of not necessarily, if you don't get them at that particular moment, it does pique the interest to get that potential viewer to a an opportunity to see it later on, or to make arrangements to catch it live at on another date. So it's in some cases it's also the opportunity for people to actually see it two or three times. So it depends on how it works. But yeah, social media is a huge portion of how streaming video is promoted and how it's consumed.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's really social marketing, right? I mean, the hard
which
part
is pretty
right
cheap
now,
actually, when you consider.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And I mean, the difficulty in what I see the future of streaming is being able to find content amongst all the content that's going to be created, right? And
mm-hmm.
so that's where we see social media playing a big role in helping our clients get the word out on when their content's available, where it's available, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Do you see more of the streaming services going as the future goes? Let me rephrase that. Do you see Roku, Amazon, and Apple becoming really the portals by which many of these programming sources will continue to flourish?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we also support Android TV is the other one, and it's
mm-hmm.
kind of the outsider at this point. But I will say that they've been doing a good job of getting themselves integrated into hardware manufacturers. So somebody
mm-hmm.
uses the Android TV platform, and so we see. Just given the fact that they have such a mature platform with the Android mobile operating system,
mm-hmm.
and they have it's a very similar development ecosystem, we see that one coming around too. Absolutely, I think those are go to Best Buy or go to Amazon,
right.
And see if you can't buy a TV without one of those platforms being integrated into it at this point. It's becoming more and more rare. And they're starting to do a really good job of integrating linear television into them as
mm-hmm.
well. And so the initial set-top streaming media device that's set next to your TV didn't necessarily have that streamlined integration, so it was switching an input, going to that device,
mm-hmm.
grabbing your other remote, and then navigating through the content that was exclusively on that streaming media device. And the
right.
more recent generations of Roku and particularly Android TV,
mm-hmm.
are integrating your linear channels in there as well. And so it's becoming a very seamless ecosystem between the two. And we kind of see that. Still maturing at this point, which is pretty crazy to think. I personally have never had cable television in my adult life, so
mm-hmm.
I'm on the forefront of the people who are the cord cutters in that regard. I was one of the guys who was building a PC in college
mm-hmm.
that would do a DVR that would pull in my antenna signals and record at certain times, that sort of thing. And so I was always frustrated that there was never hardware that existed that kind of managed that stuff for you, and I was building it myself, right? And then these streaming media devices become more prolific, and that's really what I was hoping would be available 10, 20 years ago.
Well, you bring up the Android aspect of it, and one of the good things about the Android platform is it's open to APK, so
mm-hmm.
That allows you, if you don't have access to a specific type of a channel, you can do a sidebar linkage to it, and that's something that you can't do. And if we're getting a little geeky here, folks, on you, don't worry about it. It's As I say to everyone, Google it. You'll find out. But the APK aspect of it allows you to bring in channels that are not necessarily already part of the ecosystem of a Roku or a Amazon or an Apple. So all I'm saying that Android does allow you to do on their streaming box is to sideload some other content providers that you may not find listed in the channel stores of the top three purchased boxes out there. That's all I'm trying to say here is you got a little flexibility here with the Android people that you may not have other places. So.
Yeah, and what's really on the Apple,
not
TV
that I'm
platform.
Selling any one of the four of them, just letting it out there for you.
The Apple TV platform really came around on that too. Initially mm-hmm. it was a very closed development system, but with their fourth generation, which I believe came out almost 2 years ago now, the fourth generation of the Apple TV device, that's when they actually opened their ecosystem up to third-party developers such as Blueframe. And that's mm-hmm. really what's causing, a massive adoption of transitioning to these streaming media devices where, mm-hmm. Not only can content creators go to, big distribution channels like a YouTube, where they mm-hmm. don't have maybe the flexibility they want to monetize or brand the content the way they want
right.
to. Now they have options to go do it themselves through providers such as Blueframe.
Sure. And we recommend that you do. it's funny. We were pioneers in the cell phone aspect of providing content to cell phones. And I'll never forget being at a meeting one time speaking on a panel where it was back in the day when ESPN was on one particular carrier and not any other carrier because that carrier was willing to pay them an X amount of money. And I had just come back from Europe and I had mentioned to them, I said, we have kind of a backwards concept here. In Europe, you buy the phone and then you download whatever, you want on it. Here, back in those days, they would give you the phone and the content was on it. It may not be the content you wanted, but it was the content. And it was that it took us as a country, and we haven't actually totally weaned ourselves away from it yet, but it took us as a country on the cell phone side of things to realize that the agnostic aspect of content is the most important part of it. And that's what I think one of the successes of streaming video on the platform side is that they haven't if you want to watch Netflix on any number of devices, you can. And you're not being, Netflix is not exclusive to one specific device or one specific company. And I think that's where streaming video learned from the disasters of the early days of the cell phone industry.
Mm-hmm. In fact, are you familiar with the history of Roku?
Because yeah.
it came out of Netflix, right? I mean, they originally said, we want to build a platform so that, because nothing exists to distribute Netflix, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they realized very early on that those two things should be separated because that would be an inhibitor to the penetration of Netflix.
Mm-hmm. And it's been a wonderful device ever since. I have two of those. I have an Amazon stick and I have an Android box which I just keep sideloading a bunch of interesting things into. Mm-hmm. So I think we all, not everybody's going to get a little geeked out about it, but as you say, go to Best Buy and figure out which one works for you. A lot of the smart TV situations are the same way. So whether we got a little bit into the woods here, that's okay. There are a lot of people out there who will appreciate. Those of you who don't, again, Google it. It'll be very entertaining for you, and we'll come back and someday clean it all up for you. But at this point in time, Ben and I are just talking about the streaming video aspect, what you can do, how you can produce shows, how best to get channels on, and. And I do believe, as we see, whether it's Spectrum, whether it's Comcast, whatever the cable platform being, I think within 10 years' time, there obviously will still be cable, but you will have the option, as you are now getting that option, to choose if you wish to buy a streaming package. You'll be able to get that if you want the traditional cable, where you have the traditional channel set up. Well, that's going to be an option too, but I don't think we're ever going to get away from the cable services, at least for the near future, because when you've got Comcast Xfinity, you've got Spectrum, you've got the major players all have the real big broadband pipelines. It's going to be tough to get away from them.
Yeah, I think it's funny, and as I talk to people we work with, and not only in our company but our clients as well. And this is more personal than it is business data. I think people are subscribing now to several digital services, right? And so I think we'll start to see bigger bundles, because I think there's going to be a frustration over I have to every single thing to get every single piece of content that I want to get to. So that's kind of my prediction for the future of bundles.
Well, I think Amazon is working in that direction now, where they have Amazon channels, where you can get a little bit of a price break if if you get them through the Amazon platform, and then they can you can just use it through your Amazon account, and everything is in the Amazon atmosphere. So kudos again to Bezos for being ahead of the game on that one. But he usually is a pretty smart guy. Well, look, Ben, it's been a pleasure chatting with you. Tell us how we can follow you on social media, and how we can check in on what you're doing with the wonderful products that you're offering at Blue Flame.
Yeah, so our social media for both Facebook and Twitter is Blue Frame Tech, TECH. And we're regularly pushing out information about new things that we're adding to our platform, as well as our new client wins as well. So you can see who's joining our ecosystem. And then blueframetech.com is our website, where you can get more information about the company.
We'll be back with more of Stream On right after this.
You know what? We want TV without all that old TV stuff. We want live TV that's annual contract free, hardware free, commitment free, even couch free, walls free, pants free. Just completely free to be free free. Because that's how we want it.
DirecTV Now. Live TV on any screen. Only from AT&T.
Okay, welcome back to Stream On for our final segment. Let's take a look at the news and what to watch over the weekend. First off, host Chelsea Handler is either quitting her talk show on Netflix, or her show's been canceled. It depends on who you listen to. Now, Handler tweeted out this week that she would be leaving the show to work on becoming a more engaged citizen. Meanwhile, our friends over at The Hollywood Reporter say that Netflix has canceled the program. We'll keep you posted on that story. Now, here's what to look out for this week. Hulu has added Boy Meets World, Home Improvement, and Dinosaurs, the old TGIF lineup on ABC, to their programming list. It's quite popular, and a lot of people, I'm sure, will want to do some binge watching of Boy Meets World, Home Improvement, and Dinosaurs over on Hulu. Meanwhile, on Amazon Prime, they're in their third and final season of the charming comedy Red Oaks, which is now available. Now, if you haven't seen the show, it really is a must-see. It's a funny, funny program set in the 1980s. It's sweet. It's a coming-of-age story told without, the usual snark and crassness. So if you like well-written comedies in the style of, say, The Wonder Years, then by all means, check out Red Oaks. It's over on Amazon Prime. Meanwhile, Acorn TV has Acceptable Risks. Now, that's a super new show. What's it about? Well, when her husband Lee is murdered, Sarah Manning comes to realize that she really doesn't know much about his past. As a matter of fact, Sarah begins to question who Lee actually was in the first place, and why did someone who worked for a powerful global organization like Lee, who was a salesman, need to carry a gun? Well, you can find out all about that on Acceptable Risk right on Acorn TV. Meanwhile, Dirk Gently, A Quirky Private Eye, and very funny show, is a must-see on BritBox. So that's Dirk Gently. Check it out on BritBox this week, okay? That does it for Stream On. Now, if you have not yet subscribed to our podcast, it's easy to do. You can find us in the iTunes Store, Google Play, Blog Talk Radio, or on the best podcast app in the world, that, of course, being Stitcher. Now, if you're one of the over 125 million people with the TuneIn app, then all you have to do is search Stream On with Jim Williams, hit the favorite button, and you got us, okay? So, special thanks to our guest today, and that would be Ben Kant, the CEO and founder of Blue Frame Technologies. He's a very entertaining guy, very interesting fellow. So check out Blue Frame Technology, and Ben Kant has done a great job over there. So until next week, I'm Jim Williams, thanking you for joining us right here on Stream On.